Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. And now, Marcia Pilgrim continues the story of Office Wife.
I wonder if I'm a fool having anything to do with Angela Tennant still. She came to me a few days ago to borrow some money. Taking everything into account, I should have told her to go to the Dickens. But she wasn't a bad sort till she got herself mixed up with Harry Palmer. I lent her 20 at any rate. And then yesterday she turned up again after more. But this time, well, she was rather cryptic, but I've a feeling there's something serious in the wind. Angela was on her way to see her doctor, and she said that if she had the bad news she was expecting from him, she'd be after some money from me. And she also mentioned Harry Palmer. Really, I don't know whether to take her seriously or not. Oh, well, I've work to do. I'm a career girl now, you know. The female grand mogul of Tressida Bendigo and Company. Thank the Lord I've got Francis Glover for my right-hand man. Yes, Frank, what about the bank?
There's a debit here for 500 I don't get.
Oh. Oh, that, I meant to tell you. I put it through the firm's account for convenience. I've made 500 available to Jeff.
What? You mean you gave him the actual money?
Oh, no, nothing like that. He doesn't know anything about it, and I don't want him to. He went to them for a deeper whack on his overdraft or something, and they turned him down. I fixed it.
Oh. Oh, I see. No comments from me is indicated, I imagine.
No comments, please, Frank.
You know how his credit stands, I suppose, Mrs. Pilgrim?
Yes, perfectly.
It's, 500 down the drain, you know.
Look, Frank, whose 500 is this?
Oh, sorry.
I'll cover it with my personal check, and you can adjust the books any way you like.
Right, that's that. Now, about these Southcote Electrical people.
Yeah, just a minute. Yes?
Mrs. Angela Tennant to see Mrs. Pilgrim.
Oh, ask her to wait for a few minutes, will you, Tess?
Very well.
The Southcote Electrical Company, they want us to handle their importing for them. I have a couple of nice little agencies I wouldn't mind having myself.
Are they in a very big way?
No, but they're very sound. I know Jerry Southcote personally. Now, what about it? Do we sound them up?
In the ordinary course of events, how much will the account net us over the year?
No, say 8, 850, 900 a year, I suppose.
We don't want it.
What? But we're only breaking even now, and every little helps. Till we get those big fellows back in the fold, if ever.
No. We're going to write them a letter and say we're sorry, it's out of our line. But we know a very reliable firm we'd be happy to recommend.
And who might this very reliable firm be?
And look, don't argue with me, Frank. I'll leave the letter to you.
Ah, look, Marcia, speaking quite personally won't do. Be a sensible girl. One thing to cover your husband's overdrafts, but it's another thing altogether throwing business his way to the detriment of your own concern.
Nevertheless, I'm going to do it.
Oh, look here, maybe I'm stepping out of line, but I feel I can say these things. When Palmer had me kicked out of here and I was over with Puller, I learned a lot about you and Jeff. Now, you listen to me. Jeff's having a bad trot, but some things are his own fault. You can't fool about with your own firm and...
It'll make all the difference to him.
And to that girl of his.
I can't help that, Frank. It's largely through me that Jeff's in such a rotten pickle. And I'm going to make up for it if I can. So will you draft that letter, please, and say no more?
Well, I hope you know what you're doing.
Thanks. I know exactly what I'm doing. Oh, Tess, is Mrs. Tennant still there?
Yes, Mrs. Pilgrim.
Will you tell her I'm sorry to have kept her waiting, and I'll be out in 5 minutes. Then we'll go somewhere for lunch.
Yes, Mrs. Pilgrim.
Jeff, how long is it since you and I had lunch together?
So long, Mr. Puller, that I'm waiting for you to trot it out.
Hmm? Trot what out?
Big idea. Come on, what's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, Jeff, it's about you and Stella. I don't think you're being fair to the girl.
I think I'm being more than fair to her.
Going broke, aren't you?
Well, I could be doing better.
Any prospects?
Why should I kid you? None whatever.
And when you do have to fold, what are your chances for a job?
My sort of job, the chances are about 1 in 1,000.
What the devil will you do?
No, I can drive a truck. There's always the wars if I can get into the union.
You'll get into Parliament easier. You see, Jeff, what I'm driving at, you're not going to be able to keep a wife.
Other people do.
Oh, snap out of it. You know Stella. I say it's up to you to let her out now while there's time.
Let her out? Me let her out? It's about time you got one or two things straight, if you don't mind me saying so. I asked the girl to marry me, and I owe her too much to chivvy her about. She knows how I stand, and she knows she can say, cheerio, I think I marry someone else, any time she likes, with no hard feelings.
Maybe because you're going to be hard up, she doesn't feel like walking out on you. Maybe she feels she has to stick all the more so she won't think she's a gold digger. Maybe,
maybe she'd rather be married to me than the B.J. Puller Corporation.
Don't get any funny ideas about that, Pilgrim. Plenty of girls think the Puller Corporation was nice going. So you're hanging on to Stella no matter what, eh?
I'm at her disposal. Let's put it that way.
You're a fool, Pilgrim. A self-righteous fool. As far as I'm concerned, you're a hypocrite. You say you hang on to Stella because it's the right thing. I say you hang on to her so you can wallow in your nauseating, self-sacrificing nobility.
You'd better take it easy, Benny.
You want your wife. You've always wanted your wife. But just because this other girl bailed you out of quad and did you a good turn or two, you're prepared to mess up your own life and Stella's and your wife's and...
But you were going to say your life too, Benny. In your case, I've left it rather late. You had plenty of opportunities to marry a honey-haired 25-year-old before I came on the scene.
But not this one. Okay, Jeff, no hard feelings. We know where we stand.
Well, haven't we always?
Things could change, boy. Listen, all my life, if I wanted a thing, I went after it and I got it.
So what?
Getting what I go after has become kind of a habit. Good habit, bad habit, I don't know. But, Jeff, it's a habit I've no intention of breaking now. Get me, boy? Get me?
Angela, what can I say? Surely there must be a chance of some sort.
Darling, the dear man showed me the x-rays. 6 months and people will be able to say to each other, poor Angela, but we mustn't speak ill of the dead. Won't they?
Oh, really? You mustn't talk like that.
I don't be a little cherub, Marcia. You know as well as I do I've behaved like an upper harpy this last year. I don't know. I wasn't a bad sort once.
Oh, that's all over and done with.
But darling, that's just the point. It's not... You see, yesterday when the doctor actually told me, so kind, you know, but so definite, I would be doing less than my duty to deceive you, Mrs. Tennant. Well, it made me think.
Oh, Lord. It's awful to have to hear you say these things.
Marcia, you know what I was hinting at when I saw you yesterday?
About Hattie Palmer?
Yes. This makes it kind of easy.
But Angela, I really don't see how this dreadful news of yours can hurt Hattie Palmer.
Listen to me, Marcia. Not so long ago, you and I were good friends. But after that third husband of mine, something went wrong with me. I didn't care what I did or to whom. There was nothing sacred, nothing worth a damn. Then Palmer came on the scene. Oh, don't ask me why, but some of the things I did and said for money, to swindle you and Jeff through Palmer. Don't ask me why I did it. Maybe I couldn't bear to see other people happy. In love, when love wasn't for me. Maybe I wanted a hold on Palmer. The sort of hold he couldn't break in a divorce court. I don't know. I'll never know. But Marcia, you're a decent kid. I'd like to... Oh, damn, I'm going to help. I'd like to make up for it.
Angela, dear, not here.
It's all right. I'm all right. All I'm trying to say is... It seems pointless to die. I mean, lie down like a dog and die.
Please, Angela. Look, dear, I'll call a cab and we'll go to your place and talk about it.
No, I tell you, I'm all right. Let me finish. I'm not going to live that settled. So why shouldn't I make up for what I did to you and Jeff by using my so tragic death to put everything right again?
Please, don't say any more.
You don't have to humor me. I mean it. If the idea of getting some benefit out of my death horrifies you...
It does horrify
then
me.
Then say to yourself I'm doing it to be revenged on Palmer. Or just for fun. Or to ease the gnawings of my atrophied conscience. Say I'm doing it...
Angela, what exactly are you doing?
You'd be surprised how clever I'm being. So terribly, terribly clever. You'll see, Marcia. You'll see.
What am I to think of Angela now? Well, I know she's hard up and she wants money, but really, I don't for the life of me see how any of us can affect Harry Palmer now. Least of all, poor Angela. I suppose she really is ill. She couldn't be just a little bit crazy, could she? I wonder if that husband of mine would have a clue.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.